This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by the Honorable G.T. Thompson. Mr. Thompson represents the 5th Congressional District of Pennsylvania. He's a member of the House Agriculture Committee and chair of the Nutrition Subcommittee. It's so good to see you.
Well, Tony, thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity to be able to spend some time with you and talk one of my favorite topics, agriculture.
Let's rewind the clock for just a moment. Could you have imagined 30 years ago that you'd be sitting in Washington, D.C. and talking agriculture from a legislative perspective?
Absolutely not. Being in Congress was not something that was on my bucket list of things to do. Now, I've always lived in rural America, rural Pennsylvania, so the issues that come before the Agriculture Committee are incredibly important to my home area, my congressional district, and to the state of Pennsylvania. It's our number one industry. One out of every 7 jobs in Pennsylvania comes directly or indirectly from agriculture, and it's more than that, as you know, Noni. It's the Agriculture Committee and the work that we do is about the rural economy, and if we're getting it right, we have a robust rural economy. And we're not there right now. I mean, a rising tide does float all boats, and there's great things with record unemployment and consumer confidence. But we have some issues with some of our commodities, I would say specifically dairy and cotton, that has really hurt the rural economy. And we're out to fix those things. And this Farm Bill 2018, would do that.
Well, and let's rewind the clock back to February, where there were some changes made to those two programs, both cotton and dairy. MPP, what we're seeing right now is another extension from USDA. Is this something that can help producers, and are you encouraging them to sign up?
Oh, absolutely. Just released a press release today encouraging my dairy farmers, if they haven't taken advantage or haven't taken another look at margin protection, or what we're now beginning to call the dairy protection provisions, they need to. And because I get it, the MPP is, you know, what came out of the last farm bill, what came out of the Agriculture Committee was really good. And it was something that was attractive to farmers, would have worked for farmers, would have helped during distressful times. And then other members of Congress outside of the agriculture got their hands on it and screwed it up. What the final product didn't do any of those things. And so I'm very pleased as a part of the disaster relief bill, I think it was somewhere close to over $3 billion that we put into really redoing the MPP program to make it so that it actually is affordable and it actually works. Now, there's two sides to dairy policy, and we're talking about the safety net side, and I want to make sure we get that right. We've got some good things that we're doing in the Farm Bill. The Senate has released kind of an outline of what their Farm Bill is going to look like, and they do good things with the dairy relief package, which I'm pleased about. But we also have to be working on the market side, because if we have to use the safety net, that means people are waking up having bad days. If they wake up and have a bad day as a dairy farm family, I want that safety net to be there. But I want fewer bad days. And so that's why I work so hard on the market side of dairy. And the many provisions that I've advanced, some of them are a part of this farm bill, that will actually make better, more good days for dairy farmers, because it basically address the oversupply situation that we're in by improving the markets. And because we need to get more demand than what we have supply. And right now that's inverted right now.
You talk about bad days, and sometimes we have bad days. Wheels come off the bus, if you will. And we need some help. And there's a safety net in there for Americans. And that's through the nutrition program. It's not the only thing the nutrition program does, but you're chair of that subcommittee. A lot of work went into this this current 2018 Farm Bill.
Yeah, the nutrition title is a very important part of the Farm Bill, and I'm absolutely convinced this is the place where it needs to be. I'm fond of saying that the worst part of living in rural America is everybody knows your business. That the best part of living in rural America is everybody knows your business. I had a cousin that probably 3 months ago, their house burned to the ground. And as the fire was just breaking through the roof of the house, they were surrounded by my fellow firefighters in that rural company, but also friends, loved ones, and complete strangers who all came out to offer them coats, clothing, money, assistance, love, hugs, because that's what we do in rural America. Neighbors help neighbors in need, and that's what the new nutrition title is about. It's about helping neighbors, our neighbors in need. And so we do, there's a lot of just so much good things that we've put into the nutrition title. Kind of referencing back on our last conversation on dairy, we actually built into it some incentives for our retailers so that if, as they encourage people with SNAP benefits, it's what we used to call food stamps, it's now using an EBT card, these retailers can get part of their costs, about 20% of their costs reimbursed if they provide incentives. So with EBT benefits, you can get like twice as much fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, and dairy. And so that's a part of trying to encourage that market consumption of something that's very healthy. That's an example of the types of improvements we made. There are certain individuals that have been denied access. A lot of our military, active duty military, these are men and women, the ones that joined later in life. So when they came in to the military, they brought an entire family with them. And, you know, I think we naturally pay privates a very low amount of a salary so they don't get themselves in trouble. That's okay for 18, 19-year-olds. But if you're 32 and you're coming in with a spouse and children, you know, you're living close to poverty at that level. And so we actually make some provisions to offset the basic housing allowance, which prevented a lot of those folks from qualifying for SNAP. Those are examples of how we've done greater access. Within the nutrition title, something I'm very excited that's going to be good for hungry people and hungry families, but also good for our farmers. We take what we spend to invest in our food pantries and our food banks. Normally, that was $15 million a year we would invest. We take that to $60 million, but we require that $20 million of that is used so that the food banks and pantries can purchase excess commodities directly from the farmer. So it's good for farmers, and quite frankly, those are all fresh foods that these families will have access to. And we do work on some, I believe that, to me, that the ultimate food security is just a good-paying, family-sustaining job. And Tony, today we have, as of last week, we have 6.7 million jobs that are open and available in this country that employers cannot find people who are qualified and trained. And so there's provisions we put into this farm bill that if you're between the ages of 18 and 59, if you do not have a disability, if you do not have a child at home that it's preschool that you have to care for, or maybe even a disabled person that you're attending to in your home, you're going to be required to engage in one of three things in order to get your SNAP benefits. One is to be working 20 hours a week. But the second is that we're going to provide access to skills-based education, up to 20 hours a week that will be paid for with case management to help you figure out transportation and childcare and what other things that barriers you may come up against. And I recognize that there are some places where unemployment's concentrated, normally in big cities, urban areas, places I really don't want to live, okay? I tell people I sleep in Washington three nights a week, but I don't live here. I'm from rural Pennsylvania. But I recognize that there are some cities, for whatever reasons, have their problems with employment. Well, the third provision is people can get these SNAP benefits by going out and volunteering, giving back to their communities for 20 hours a week. And I think that helps people. It keeps the rust knocked off of them. And they, you know, they got to get out of bed, got to show up and, you know, on time. They network, they meet people, and through that, maybe they can find employment opportunities or at least identify different types of training that they would work opportunities they would like to go into. So I'm very excited about the transformative nature of this farm bill.
Which begs the question, where did we go? We've got a farm bill right now on the House side that I don't think anybody has ever seen it in this predicament that we're in. As the Senate is writing theirs, where do we go?
Well, it's an interesting predicament because we actually have far more Republican support. There's always been a majority of Republicans that support the Farm Bill, but we're I mean, the support for the Farm Bill is just, I think it's an all record high. Some of that is because of the transforming nature of it, with employment opportunities and training and helping people get a glide path out of poverty and true ultimate food security. Normally we have a significant number of Democrats that are helping us, but my friends that are, I'm a Republican, my friends that are Democrats on the Agriculture Committee have, it's like they flipped a switch. They're all focused on November's election now. They're looking past the Farm Bill, which I think is unfortunate given that we've had 5 years of deteriorating farm income. We need to do this now. So I'm, at least at this point, it looks like we're going to have to do this without Democrat help, which is unfortunate and sad in my mind. That said, we have nearly unified Republican support for the Farm Bill. We do have a group of about 20 people who are so wrapped around the axle because of immigration. You know, they want to vote on, as I do, some immigration to, legislation to keep our country safe and to deal with the complex immigration issues that are out there, that they really held the Farm Bill hostage. They voted no just because of that. They told me they like the Farm Bill. They like what I've done. They like what we've done. The exciting part is late last night, there was an announcement that two immigration bills will be voted on next week here in the House. One will be Mr. Goodlatte's bill, Judiciary Chairman, former Agriculture Chairman. And I hope that all the provisions to help the ag workforce, temporary ag workforce, or reliable ag workforce is included in that. That's one of my top priorities on immigration. And then the other one will be a bill to address the young people who were brought here, DACA, security, and ending the diversity visa lottery, and transitioning actually to more employment needs, which could help our farmers as well. And I am hoping that these folks who wanted that vote, once they get it, no matter what happens on the vote, will be on board with the Farm Bill, because we need to get this done for America's farm families.
And we've already heard that they'll try to call the Farm Bill up immediately thereafter. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the work that you have done, you're doing, your passion, and we wish you the best.
Tony, my pleasure. Thanks so much for the opportunity. It's good to be with you.
Again, it's Representative G.T. Thompson from the 5th Congressional District of Pennsylvania, Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee's Nutrition Subcommittee on the Agribusiness Report.